Well, good morning, Harvest family. Make your way in if you're there in the foyer. We'll get started with our service here in just a moment. I can't believe it is the last day of the new year. Boy, has time went by so quickly in 2023. So you pray for our service today. Don't forget, tonight we have our evening service and we're having a Singspiration tonight. A lot of special music, instrumental. Then afterwards we'll go to the fellowship hall for a Mexican theme with food and desserts and fellowship. And look forward to that service tonight as well. And of course, don't forget choir. You'll still have choir practice this afternoon. But let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon our service. Brother Sam will come and the choir will open us up in song. Brother John Draper, will you open us in prayer, please?
Satisfied, and I know that I am. Satisfied, and I
Let's look to the Lord and pray, and let's pray for one another. Let's pray for the remainder of the service, and of course, let's pray for the men of our church. Let's ask God's blessings as we pray together. Father, as we come before thy throne, we want to praise you and thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have that we can still come together and worship you freely. Lord, please help us to be reminded not to take these things for granted. Father, I thank you for the men of Harvest Baptist Church and the other men here this morning that are visiting with us, Father, that you would help them, encourage them, Father. Help them be the spiritual leaders of their home that you would have them to be. Father, put a hedge about them, Father. Protect them from sin. Protect them from physical harm and distress, Father. Help them to be not only the leaders at home, but their leaders in their church community as well as the community that they live in, that you would use them, encourage them, and may their testimony point out the Savior in their life, Father, that would draw other men unto you. Father, we ask your blessings upon our ladies, the Lord, many that stand behind these men, that you would encourage them and help them to be the wife and the mother that you would have them to be. Father, bless our church congregation, Father, as we look at coming in here to the end of the year and preparing tomorrow to start a new year, Father, that we would look back, Lord, and have no regrets. Father, that we have no sin unconfessed. Father, we have no struggles that we're concerned over. But Father, we take the time and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. And Father, help me as we come into the new year to be more like you, less like the world. And Father, may our testimonies point others to Christ. Father, I pray for your blessings of the reading of your word this morning as we look at a New Year's challenge and message this morning as we make preparations for say goodbye to an old year and count and make preparations of going into a new year. Father, help us to charge forward with much zeal and excitement of the goodness of the Lord. And Father, if you choose to tarry your return this year or in 2024, may we strive to do all that we can for our loving and gracious Savior. Now, Father, bless our time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just one brief passage of scripture this morning before our ladies come to sing. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible tells us, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Dear friends, I believe every Christian should strive to be faithful in their walk day by day. We don't have to live out our whole life today, our whole life tomorrow, but just living it out faithfully one day at a time. Ladies.
Shine upon us until the glory dawns.
Thank you, ladies. If I had a pretty voice, I would have sang with them. Living it up in the new year is the title of my sermon this morning. You know, so often we can take that phrase and look at it and maybe think a little bit different, but I'm referring to living it up for Christ, doing all that we can and trying to be better this year than we have previous years. Say, Lord, just help me to live for you. And I have found myself through the years, the best way for me to make New Year's resolutions, the best way for me to make the best decisions for me is to make sure I'm right here. Because it's a lot easier to be right out here when I'm right here. See, it's hard to be right with you when I'm not right with God. It's hard to be right with God when I'm not right with you. But He is the bypass. He is the way to go in trying to be right with the Lord. Here in our passage this morning, it says, moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. See, faithfulness was a prime qualification to be a servant. A steward was responsible for directing the affairs of the household and dispensing provisions. Joseph was a good example in the Old Testament when he was a steward of Potiphar's household. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible describes the flesh as being weak, but the grace of God in us teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, that we might live soberly and righteously in this life. So every Christian should strive. Let me say it again. Every Christian should strive to live it up for Christ, to live it for the Lord. And I have a few things to share with you this morning on how to do that. Number one, by being faithful. Again, here's in our verse, more of is required as stewards that man be found faithful. See, we cannot all be rich in this world's goods. We cannot all be super talented. We cannot all be famous, but we can all be faithful. As we look across our auditorium, we have different gifts. We've seen our lovely ladies sing for us. Earlier, we've seen our choir sing for us. I hear songs in the congregation even during the singing and wondering, why aren't they in the choir as well? We have some that have the ability to fix things, to sew, to make things, and to cook. And the list goes on and on about the different qualities and talents that we have in our life. And they're all very. But there's one talent, there's one thing that we all can have and practice, and that is faithfulness unto our Lord. See, faithfulness or faithful means firmly adhering to duty, to commands and truth in reference to God. See, sad to say, but there is so much spiritual adultery today that few can be described as faithful or qualified as a steward. How do we look at our life as stewardship? I gave the example some time ago, and maybe it was on a Sunday night or Wednesday night, but I see myself as a steward of this. I see myself as a steward of my checkbook. I see myself as a steward of my accounts, of my savings, my checking, my retirement, all those things that I have, they all belong to Him, and I'm just a steward of it. I see the talents that I have, though few they may be, belong to Him, and He's the one that will develop, improve, and use them for His glory. See, when we see ourselves in being faithful and being stewards, and that all belongs to Him, how much less concern and stress it is. Hey, folks, there's things out there that can be stressful. Paying the bills can be. I can remember as a private in the military how stressful it was to pay the bills back in those days compared to the day, and finances is even difficult as well, but some wages being higher. But there's one thing I don't have to worry about. It belongs to God, and I'm just to be faithful in what He's entrusted me with. Share a few things with you about being faithful. First of all, letter A, be faithful to God's house. Hebrews 10:25 tells us that we're not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves as a matter of some is. Yes, we have to work. Yes, we get sick. Yes, things come up. But I'm thinking when we're not providentially hindered, be faithful to God's house. Sometimes I think we forget. The title outside is Harvest Baptist Church. The church identifies us as a religious denomination. Baptist separates us to identify us as baptistical doctrine. Harvest gives the idea of being missions minded, or the harvest is truly as plenteous, but the laborers are few, so to say. But we ourselves, we must ask ourselves and remind ourselves, I'm not just going to Harvest Baptist Church. I'm just not a member of Harvest Baptist Church. I'm a member of God's family, God's house with the title of Harvest Baptist Church. We're not just coming to church, we're coming to God's house. And how do we prepare for that? Hey, dear friends, I don't know about you. I grew up I didn't grow up there, but my wife would say I did grow up there, that she raised me after we got married. But I spent a lot of years in Europe. Some of y'all got that, some of you didn't. We spent a lot of years in Europe. And when you went to someone's home, you brought flowers or candy or coffee. That was just a tradition. You knocked on the door, you were welcomed in, you took off your shoes as you came in. That was a tradition, and that was a culture. Since we've been here, we've had families visit our home, and many on the first time they came to our home, on the very first visit, often they would bring a little gift or a token of thank you. And we, the same, trying often to do the same thing. But what do we bring when we come to God's house? I think we need to bring the right attitude, the right heart, and an approach and a desire to worship Him. Be faithful to God's house. Letter B, be faithful to your prayer life. Be faithful to your prayer life. Why? Because someone needs your prayers and you need the spiritual exercise that prayer brings. Yeah, often people say, brother, I'm praying for you. I always say, thank you. I need the prayers and you need the practice. Or you need the prayers, I need the practice. But it is a spiritual exercise. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. An attitude of prayer, approach of prayer. And let me remind you once again, it's okay even to pray with your eyes open. It's okay to pray while you're driving down the road, please, with your eyes open here in Arizona. It's okay to pray while you're walking. It's okay to pray while you're just sitting and relaxing in a quiet room. Dear friends, the bottom line is, if we're going to be faithful, we need to be faithful to the house of God in our prayer life. Our country needs your prayer. Your family needs your prayer life. Your pastor and church family needs your prayer life. Letter C, in your faithfulness, not only being faithful to God's house and faithful in prayer life, but be faithful in your Bible reading as well. Why? Because it will increase your faith. Your Bible reading, your time in prayer, your time in God's house, all will help you to increase your faith. Acts 17:11 says they search the scriptures daily. It should be so part of our life, just like breathing, that I need to be in scripture. Here this past week, I got under conviction. I'm still having a little wheezing on occasion. I don't have asthma, unless I do now, but I've never had asthma. But of recent, we were out and about and going, and maybe it's fatigue and a lot going on, haven't been sleeping well at night, busy schedule, holiday family coming in. But I had what I thought was almost like an asthma attack, having a hard time breathing. Michelle said, here, just use my inhaler. We were sitting at home in the living room and took a few puffs of it. It opened my airways and I felt a little better. But it wasn't long after that I began to get under a conviction a little bit. I don't know what caused the respiratory thing. I don't know what caused the situation, but I know that little puffer. Those of you who have asthma know what I'm talking about. It helped open up my lungs so that I might breathe better. Oh, to God that we would have some type of attack when we weren't in the Word of God daily. Would to God that we wouldn't be under conviction when we weren't talking to God on a regular basis. That we wouldn't have withdrawals. I've got a headache, and it's with withdrawal, because I've eaten more sugar in the last 4 weeks than any man should eat. More than all the other 11 months of the year combined. And that's a New Year's resolution for me. No more sugar for a while. Get that light, you know what I'm talking about, that light little headache when you decide to cut it out. Or that light little headache when you don't have that morning cup of coffee because you got that blood work and you got to wait till later today and you get that light little headache. And then, oh, the caffeine that just soothes everything. Oh, the God that I would feel the same way when I open my Bible to read. When I bow my knee to pray, to just have that calming, that my lungs open up with that little puffer, that my heart, my mind, and my spirit opens up and just absorbs everything that God has for me in His Word. Dear friends, be faithful to God's house. Be faithful to your prayer life. Be faithful in your Bible reading. And then number two, if we're going to live it up for the Lord in the new year, we need to do so by living without fear. By living without fear. We live, if we're not careful, we can have a tendency to be intimidated, to be fearful, and to keep us from doing things that God would have us to be. See, the Bible tells us, fear not, 63 times in the Word of God. God told Joshua many times not to fear. Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. See, there were giants in the land of Canaan that needed to be slain, that needed to be taken care of, that needed to be conquered. But with God on their side, they were not to fear. But yet when the spies went out, we know the old song that we sang about how the spies went out and came out. Some were fearful, some were afraid, some were excited, some were ready. Let's go, we can win this. And all they could see was the giant grapes, the giant agricultural harvest they could have. And the others, all they saw were the giant men of intimidation. How do we see the world today? How will we see the world in this new year? We allow Satan to cause fear and dismay and intimidation in our life to keep us from serving him. Fearing God is wonderful, but the fear of man and the fear of circumstances is not good behavior for the believer. We know, look, don't misunderstand me. I get nervous every time I stand to preach. I get nervous when I pray, make preparation on what to teach and to preach. Lord, I want to make sure I do this right and what the people of Harvest need. But dear friends, if we're going to live without fear, letter A, we need to be fearless in our witness. We need to be fearless in our witness. I know it can be overwhelming. I know it can be fearful. But God on our side, why should we fear? Satan would love to silence us when it comes to the gospel. But dear friends, we cannot allow him to do that. It's like riding a bike. I put training wheels on our youngest granddaughter's bicycle. Had to adjust it a few times because the first time it wasn't done right. And she got on there, started pedaling, and the wheel just spun because the training wheels was a little bit too low. Wasn't as heavy as I thought she was. Had to make that little adjustment. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves just spinning our wheels and getting nowhere. But we need to realize that even in a Christian walk, God has given us what we could call training wheels. The Spirit of God to help us, to encourage us, to balance us, and to help us to be the witness that God would have us to be. The book of Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Dear friends, be fearless in your witness. It has to start somewhere. But again, I've said this several times lately, but I get encouraged when I go somewhere and I see one of our church tracks or cars laid on the table or somewhere. I get encouraged if I go to the mall and I lift up a nice dress shirt that I'm going to look, that's my size. I need to go and get a dress shirt and lift it up and there is a welcome to Harvest Baptist Church or thank you for visiting where people just put cards here and there or leave them on the table after a visit to the restaurant or whatever it may be. And there's other times that God allows us to open our mouth and share a vocal testimony. It has to start somewhere, but let's make sure we do all we can to live without fear and be fearless in our witnessing. And then letter A, be fearless in your walk. Because there are those who will oppose us. We should not fear men because it will bring a snare into our lives. Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Psalm 34, verse 23 and 24, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Dear friends, be faithful. Live without fear. And as you live without fear, be ever conscious of being fearless in your witness and fearless in your walk. I got an extra minute or two. This came to my mind. It's not even part of the sermon. It's absolutely free. There's no charge, no extra offering. Speaking of walk, earlier this year, Michelle was leaving our community in Tarteso. And she came out to the last little area, which is a circle, and you begin to leave. There's a park there, tennis courts there. And one morning when she left to come around that circle, there was a coyote that just walked right across. Michelle slowed down, and she hasn't been for a walk since. So the other day, she borrowed a 6-iron from Brother Draper. See, he doesn't need it. He hits the ball too far off the tee. He only needs a driver and a putter. So he gave this old six iron to Michelle. Michelle said, put this in the car because I'm going to start walking again with you or without you. You know how important it is for us to be active for the physical man, but for the spiritual man, it is so important that we are fearless in our witness, but also fearless in our walk with God. Spending time with God, whether it's a prayer walk, whether it's just walking with the Lord in the sense of your daily devotions. You know, we can go for a walk with the Lord and never leave our chair. We can go for a walk with the Lord and never leave the comforts of our home. But the most important thing is that we do go for that walk. Michelle doesn't need a golf club. She doesn't need mace spray. She doesn't need a little 380 that she has. She doesn't need me to go for a walk with God. She can go on her own. And we individually, as well as collectively, should work and realize in being faithful, we need to do so by living without fear. Let's go a little further. We're almost done. I just thought about that. Would never known it had that golf club not been extended just a couple of days ago. Number three, not also by living faithful, being faithful, by living without fear. Number three this morning, by knowing you are forearmed. By knowing you are forearmed or equipped. The Bible tells us in Psalm 31 and verse 24, be of good courage, and ye shall strengthen in your heart, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. You see, God promises to strengthen us in the battles and the trials of life that we face. We are forearmed. We are protected. You do not have to face foes on your own power. Again, a childhood example. I can remember growing up as a young boy and getting a little older and having two younger siblings, then a third younger sibling. And you know what? There was a lot of times my two brothers and my sister wrote a few checks that they expected me to cash because of bullies in their school, because of others in the community that wanted the big brother to step up. Boy, isn't it so comforting to know that we serve the God of heaven? That we serve the God of this world. There's nowhere that I go. There's nothing I do not do or say or attempt that he is not right there with me. It makes no difference. No difference. Let's remember, we are forearmed. There is a power above us, around us, and in us that makes us adequate through him for every situation as we witness for him. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not going to go out on interstate next week and say, Lord, save me. I'm going to see if it works and step out in front of a truck. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our service and ministering to others on the Lord's behalf as he guides us and gives us opportunities. We need to be faithful. We need to be without fear. We need to realize and know that we are forearmed and he has equipped us. And by the way, he's continuing to equip us. Couple things in reference to by knowing your forearm. Letter A, be aware daily. Be aware daily. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Dear friends, trust him for your daily power and your daily bread. He will provide and guide and direct your life. There's no reason to fear. There's no reason to fear when Jesus is near. It's hard. It's difficult to be an effective witness. At times it's overwhelming and intimidating. We're just not quite sure we can do it. Let me encourage you. If God could use this old boy right here standing in front of you to preach the gospel, witness to others, he can use you. But could I tell you, I stuttered as a boy. I had a hard time with public speaking. I still don't speak good English, but I have a desire to serve. I have a desire to be used, and God will use us in those areas if we say, Lord, help me to be aware, help me to be prepared. And then letter B, by knowing you're forearmed, be aware daily, but also be aware when you're weary. Boys, when we're weary, when we're sick, when we're discouraged, when we're having a rough time, that is a time where the Satan really can attack us. Because just like in nature itself, the strong go after the weak. And when Satan senses that, and just because we're weary does not mean that we give in. You see, it's easy to become weary while serving God, but he has promised us in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Dear friends, God will sustain you and reward your work of faith as you allow him to forearm or equip you for the task. Dear friends, in our new year, will you live it up in the new year for Christ or for self? Will you make a decision? I'm going to do all I can to not just live, but to live it up. See, the world likes to think with their mind. When they say, hey, we're going to live it up, right away their mind goes, boy, he must be getting ready to party. He must be ready to go out and really just have a big time, to have a real shirty. Some of y'all, have you ever played, what's that name we used to play? Boulder Dash, you know what that word means. But living the life of a Christian, I think, is still full of fun and excitement. My form of excitement might be different than the world's, but I enjoy it. I get excited when people walk the aisle and get saved or just to talk to the Lord. I get excited when folks join the church. I get excited when folks ask about Harvest Baptist Church. In fact, I get a little bit giddy. I get overexcited. Boy, I just can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do. I got up this morning like I do every Sunday morning at 5 o'clock. The alarm goes off, and I don't roll over like I do on Mondays and hit the snooze button. I jump out of bed and say, I can't wait what God's going to do today. I make my way to the coffee pot, get the coffee going and get excited and get Miss Michelle her cup of coffee, Miss Princess her cup of coffee. And then I get my cup of coffee and I go to the room and I said, man, Lord, what are you going to do today? I get excited. I go over my notes after talking with the Lord a little while, get really excited about what God's going to do. And dear friends, that would be that way every time that we look at coming to the house of God. There's times I wish that I felt the same way on Monday morning than I did on Sunday. There's times, I don't know, sometimes Monday just seems to be hard. It was hard through Bible calls, let me tell you. I can tell you how many times Michelle had a squirt bottle full of water. My junior and senior year, there's many Monday mornings she was doing this to get me out of bed. I was tired. I was ready to throw in the towel. No, I've invested too much in you. We've done too much work. Get out of bed. You're going to school. This is our last semester. You know, sometimes we feel that way. But when we remind ourselves of the goodness of God, even in my state of weariness, even though I'm getting tired, you know, he's still there to forearm me and give me the strength. I made a comment the other day, and I'll be finished. I made a comment about a very colorful preacher who's 93 years old who's still preaching the gospel, Brother Harold Clayton out of Texas. Brother Disbro reminded me this morning, said, hey, I looked up that message on the turtle and the rabbit. He said, I enjoy that. He said, I'm going to look up some more. Then I gave him some other names and some old-time preachers from when I was a boy growing up. You know, and I think of him, 93 years old. He still preaches anywhere from 70 to 100 times a year. And I think to myself, wow, I just turned 60 and I feel like, man, only four times a week? I guess it adds up, but at his age, and the travel to church to preach and evangelize since he's retired from pastoring and now is doing evangelistic work and encouraging pastors, his zeal might not be what it used to be, but if you ever watch him preach, you ever hear him, he still gets excited. He'll pull out that hanky once in a while. He says, I can't run like I used to, but I can still wave that hanky. Every once in a while, he'll say, hold my mule while I shout, an old southern Texas saying. He'd get excited. And dear friends, we need to remind ourselves, even in our weariness, even in our fatigue, that God is still on the throne. He's still in control. We are forearmed, no matter how sick, how weak, and how tired we are, saying, Lord, help me, though I am weak, that I might be strong. Dear friends, I think with all of my heart, sometimes I wonder that I've done some of my best preaching. And I don't think I've done that much great preaching, but at times when I felt like the Lord really used me, or some of those days where I felt tired. Some of those days where I wasn't quite sure I could do it. Some of those days I just felt so exhausted, and somehow I managed to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit of God work. And that's what we need to do more often. Let's strive in this new year, Ms. Marlene. Let's strive in this new year to live it up for the Lord. Let's make a decision. I am going to live for Christ and not for self. I'm going to do all I can to live for Him and for nothing else. Every Christian should strive to live it up or to live for Christ. How? By being faithful, by living without fear, by knowing you're forearmed. And dear friends, there is no need to fear when you know you have the power of God on your life, the Holy Spirit indwelling your temple, that God could use you, direct you, protect you as you serve Him. Let's bow our heads and let's all stand together if you would, with the heads bowed and eyes closed, or the panelists will make their way in. And I want to challenge you and encourage you later today to read that devotion on New Year's resolutions, to think and to pray and ask the Lord what He would have you to do. I don't think this is something that we should do on a yearly basis. I think it's something we should check and recheck on a weekly or monthly basis. But Lord, what you would have me to do. So you bear with me just a moment before we pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe there's someone here today who would just lift their hand up and down and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm just not sure that I'm saved. I don't know that I know that I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I've had some doubts, I've questioned, but I sure would like to have peace about that. Pastor, would you pray for me? I won't come to you. I will not pull you aside. I just want to pray for you. Anyone like that at all? Then I rejoice by testimony that everyone here has trusted Christ as their Savior. So I'll ask you another question. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm simply going to ask you, are you living for the Lord? Are you prepared to live it up for Him in this new year? Not of self, not for someone else, but strictly for the Lord. Would you make that decision and say, Lord, use me wherever you plant me that I might be effective for thy use. Father, bless during this time of invitation. Father, you know the hearts of our people here this morning and those who are visiting with us. Father, would you comfort them? Would you encourage them? Would you help them to make the decisions, Father, that they need to make? Father, help me as a pastor to be the biblical and godly example that you'd have me to be, and Miss Michelle. Help us to be ready and on call at all times as we live for you, but also prepared to serve our church family. Father, help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. Our pianist is playing. If God has spoken to your heart,